Greetings, aliens. It is me, your one and only host, Miss Ella Sanchez of the Nadie Preguntó podcast, because truly, to this day, after all this time, no one has asked. Wow, guys. Oh, yo, I really can't even fathom how long it's been. I think my recent episode as of this year was January 2023. It is now mid-November, like literally the week of Thanksgiving. I'm actually realizing, though, before we get into everything that I have for today, as if you care at all, one thing I will say for certain, since it is November, the Santa Ana winds are clearly picking up. So if you hear winds in the background, blame Mother Nature, not me. She got nothing to do with me. But anyways, it is sunny but freezing today. It is officially in that winter season time. For those who are literally wondering where I've been, we'll get into that for starters. And two, if you're new here, hi, welcome. I'm sorry that you have had to deal with MIA-ness, as if you care at all or asked. But to be fair, I'm gonna get into why I've been MIA, and also to not gonna lie, it is I'm at a loss for words currently. But yeah, for those who have reached out to me during the time I've been super MIA, it started off with me not having a working computer for the files to make these like podcasts, because my computer had a moment of time where it just wasn't working. At least in that aspect, it's a whole thing. But I tried fixing it, didn't work. But now I have hopefully found an outlet to make these podcasts again on a regular basis. But those who have reached out to me during the time I've been MIA, really just wondering where I've been in regards to the podcast, like wanting me to keep recording, thank you so much. I truly hear you. I have heard you. But nonetheless, let's just get into it. This is already long enough as an intro. But yeah, I will see you guys on the other side if you still care. And we are back, ladies and gents. So, wow. Before I even start to begin with today's episode and what and why I've been gone for starters, and also to just today's topic in general, I feel like it wouldn't be fair and it wouldn't be even proper of me to address what is going on in Palestine. I feel like I'm more aware of what's going on in Palestine. I'm still reading up on the Sudan and what is going on in the Congo, and just all of those things that are happening right now, and that have been going on for quite some time. This is not new. This isn't recent from what I'm gathering from all of these countries. This is not anything new or recent, let alone it may be news to us, like us people, but it's not news to the people that currently live the hell that they do. And also, I am recording this in California, in the United States. And also to be sitting here with technology here, functioning internet connection, cellular device that I can rely on, just looking out the window and seeing the sun and just seeing nature being nature, not polluted. Well, you know, the average pollution in general of California, but compared to other places like Palestine, it would be really unjust of me to completely ignore what is going on regarding where I'm sitting in this moment. I have clothes on my back. I have family. I have literally a funny, silly little drink that's like a what? Passion fruit pineapple by the brand Vibes. And it has like CBD in it. You know, the most Californian shit you could ever fucking hear of. And to my right, I have my fucking water bottle. Like, these things are so silly to us, you know? It's like something we take for granted, and I know it's so fucking cliche to hear it, but honestly, we really do as a society take a lot of shit for granted. So with that being said, I want to address that. To be fair, I had only heard of what the conflict between Israel and Palestine as of late last year. I think maybe this time, same time last year, I heard of it, but I never really knew too much about it. I feel like it was something I saw in passing and never looked into it. But I feel like as of now, I have finally looked into what is going on. And I will be actually linking Instagram pages of Palestinian journalists and media, just so people that are not aware can actually see the real behind the scenes and the real gruesomeness of what it is there. I feel like we've all seen how horrendous it is and how sad and tragic. But at least I feel like the very most I can do is at least advertise it and promote it in a sense that that is what is being asked of me from Palestinians worldwide. However, personally, I really think that the real change happens aside from social media, but in person. I feel like if you are only posting about the situation, yet not really having the in real life conversations, I feel like it's a waste of time. So personally, at the very least, boycott. There's so many resources as to like where you could boycott. I hear McDonald's, I hear Starbucks, I hear occasionally Dunkin' Donuts, a lot of beauty brands, including that as well. So just like keep an eye out and really take it seriously. And also to end on this note, since I will be linking all of, journalists and Palestinian media and Palestinians worldwide talking about this very topic in general, I do also want to address that two things can be true at once, that you do absolutely want a free Palestine, but also no tolerance and no violence towards Jews and their religion. Two things can be true at once. You can want a free Palestine and also not hate and spread hatred towards the Jews of the world. So with that being said, we're going to move on to where I've been all this time, but I just wanted to get that in there and really emphasize how important it is, because honestly, I feel like at least at the very, very least, I've had people tell me that they think I'm super funny and super cool and stuff like that, and they really like what I do on socials and stuff, which I really admire, and I'm thankful for that. So at least maybe if this could help in some way, I would love to promote that and really raise voices for those who cannot be heard in this time, such as Palestine. And with that being said, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free until it's backwards. So I will see you guys in a little bit. And once again, we're back again. But anyways, to address the elephant in the room of where I've been. Last episode was in January 1st, actually, I believe, of this year. And then my laptop didn't work for a little while in regards to recording. Try and fix it a little bit. And then I lost motivation because your girl's been going through it, mentally speaking. And also just not really having, I feel like, enough to say, I feel like, you know. But now that I'm here, can't believe it. I haven't even talked about it yet. So when I finish recording this, I'm actually going to like start promoting it again, because I wasn't sure if my laptop was going to actually work for me to record it. I didn't want to like hype it up and then have it not work. But now I finally feel ready to dive back into recording and podcasting and stuff like that. I definitely see a lot of hype in regards to podcasts now. I feel like everyone has one, which is also intimidating for me, because it feels like, you know, will I ever do well? Who knows? But I do have, like I mentioned earlier in this episode, that I am very thankful for the people that reached out wondering like where my podcast was and if they and how it helped them. And I really do admire that. And I'm really thankful. That does not go unnoticed. I just haven't been able to record. And also the times that I have been able to, I didn't really feel like I had a lot to say. I was going through a lot. And to name a few. So you guys are probably wondering, I really doubt it, but for y'all that are really, really wondering where I've been aside from, you know, my laptop not working for a little while, where have I been? This 2023 has been honestly fucking awful, dude. Fucking awful. To me, this is like my end of the year Spotify Wrapped for podcasters. This episode is me kind of bidding farewell to 2023. It is November 20th and I'm recording this. I usually upload on Sundays. And honest to God, bro, like, I feel like this year has sucked in the sense of I was making it sucky for myself, mentally speaking. I never really gave myself the flowers I deserved for the accomplishments that I do have. For the longest time, I've always been that way. For the longest time, I can even remember. Yeah, but all I can say that where have I been? Life was good until it fucking wasn't, bro. Life was good until it really wasn't. The rundown, I had a man, now I don't. So the endless reflection on that has been spiraling everywhere. Two car accidents, and don't worry, no one was involved. It was literally natural causes, and when I say natural causes, I mean the weather, all right? No need to get fucking worried, all right? I'm good. The car in the first one was not. But anyways, nonetheless, you know, not great. Job market has been beating my ass more than I can say. And she's winning. She has been winning for the last, I don't know, 5 months. And yeah, it's kind of embarrassing to this day. We're not going to get into that, though, because then I will start immediately sobbing my eyes out. Yeah, family stress, you know, what hasn't been happening? You know, what the real question is as to where I've been, like, what hasn't been happening? People are like, who hurt you? I'm like, what hasn't hurt me? Who hasn't hurt me? So there's that. But then again, since I have been MIA for a while now, I feel like I told one of my bros, from Quest and Friends, I was talking to Quest, we did an episode together way back when, it feels like, but honestly, I finally told him, I was like, yo, I feel like I'm finally ready to revive the podcast, like resuscitate her, like, DNR, I don't know her, but honestly, I feel like I'm ready now. And I'm finally a little more confident into speaking into this. For those who don't know me, aside from, you know, socials, I am a dancer primarily. I have been dancing on and off for like a little over 10 years now. It's a career that has put me through hell in a good and bad way. I'm currently with a dance company. If we're going to talk about the positives of where I've been, I'm in a dance company now. I'm very proud of myself, even though to me, some days I don't feel like it's real. I feel like I'm not worthy of being there. But another part of my life is, you know, social media. I do a lot of shits and giggles, and I feel like it's really funny when my dancer friends are like, their entire gram, their entire portfolio is just dance, dance, dance. And there's me that does it and also wants to have more than one possible career. That's what I've been kind of trying to navigate recently, having multiple talents and careers and wanting to dive into each of them equally instead of being known for just one thing. But if I were to ever make it in any industry, I would want to be remembered and known primarily for being a dancer. That's really where I lie the most. It's the most training I've had. It's what I know the best and the most. But yeah, if we're going to talk about the positives, I think that the positives right now are currently being in a dance company. And also, I have a cat now. That's the best thing. His name is Noche. He's a black cat. Love that guy. He's downstairs minding his business. But enough about, you know, where I've been. I come with you now with 6-7 months of trauma and life lessons and things I've learned in 2023 as a 24-year-old. And I come now to express that. Aside from me being gone, I feel like I have gathered enough data. data, same fucking thing. Enough for me to elaborate on the things I've learned in this time gap. And this is, I've mentioned this previous times that, what is it? That this podcast primarily is for me when I'm older. When I'm like, what, in my 40s, bro? I can listen to myself talk and be coherent enough for me to, well, no, 40 isn't old, guys. 40 isn't old. But maybe when I'm like 80 and above and I can listen to this on the internet and I can reflect on where I was at that time, I feel like a podcast is a really good way to do so. And navigating what being 20s and what being in my 20s was like. And then I'm going to keep doing that until I'm 30, 40, however long I decide to run this shit. But since I've been gone for a while, I feel like we're here to stay for at least a good little while. But nonetheless, I've talked enough and you're probably like, girl, can we just get to the damn episode? And honestly, yeah, we can, because honestly, I'm ready to do that as well. I finally have my little list. And so with that being said, friends, I'm ready to introduce you to the topic of today, which is 24 sucks. And that is where we'll go. Bye. And once again, I am back, and this is the last bit of the episode, the last piece, the big chunk of this episode. So what did I do? You know what I did? To be very fucking cliche. I did 24 things I learned at 24. Shocker. Yeah. So very original, I know. Ooh, so original. I know. You guys are probably like, whoa, God, write that down. Write that down. I know. Ooh, so original of me. But anyways, as I am 24, I'm a Gemini, in case y'all wondering. My birthday is June 9th. If you guys want to get me anything. And by that, I mean get me money. That's straight up all I'm asking for. Yes, it is November, and my birthday is quite literally almost basically 6 months away, 7 months. I'm still going to put that in there. Gemini season is every season. And so, with that being said, since I have a list of 24 things I learned at 24, she's so cliche. She's so common. She's a commoner. Anyways, this is straight up just going to be in list form. Like, literally, I don't know how long this is going to be as an episode. I literally have a list, like 1 through 24. Either I will elaborate on all of them or I will not with a story. Who knows? As to like where I learned this, as if you want to know any detail at all. But anyways, number one of things I learned at 24. Whew, y'all, you're gonna be really mad at me when I say this one, babes. You're gonna be really mad at me, yeah? Some of y'all need to get stronger and build a thicker skin. Yep. I'm not sorry about it. Giving up is easy, girl. Giving up is so easy. And the amount of times I've given up this year and then regretted it and then went back into it. Yeah. Yeah. There's really no need for me to elaborate on that, really. I feel like, you know, there are some people that are a little too sensitive for me. And me personally, I don't like to deal with sensitive bitches. I'm sorry. I don't love y'all. I'm sorry. Like, I really don't have time to be dealing with somebody that's overly sensitive. Trust me. It's hell on earth for me. Look, I am a sensitive bitch too. I do have feelings like we all do, you know. Obviously, some of us are more sensitive than others, but I'm not going to lie to you, girl. There are just some things I don't have tolerance for. I hate to break it to you. I'm sorry. And I don't care if you don't care what I think about that. There are just some things you need to grow a thicker skin for. I think that the prime example of this truly is like when y'all are dating, like when I've seen people date, they're like, I'm never going to date ever again. It's like, bitch, grow the fuck up. You are 23. You are 20. Look, if you're already giving up on love at like, what, 22, 21, if you're even my age, 24, babe, girl, you're a pussy. Like, I'm telling you now, like, I'm sorry. Like, dude, grow the fuck up. Not everyone is like that. Trust. And if you keep meeting people like that, babes, you keep attracting that. I hate to break it to you. You are what you attract. So, yeah, I'm sorry, girl. Like, that's like the biggest example. The biggest example I can use in this. It's like, oh my God, no, he said he liked me and now he doesn't. It's like, babe, he just was never that into you. Just keep that in mind. Yeah. He was just not that into you. You should definitely hit him with your car. I'm not saying you shouldn't. You should definitely feel your emotions and then let them go. But I don't want to deal with an overly sensitive bitch. I just can't do it, girl. I can't, yo. Can't do it. But anyways, number two on my list of 24 things I learned at 24. Discipline is the only thing that you need to make it through in this life. And when I say that, obviously some cases are different than others. Obviously there are people that have different scenarios of life, you know, discipline is maybe not enough or even like, yeah, not enough. But I will say for the average person, for the average Joe, for the average Jane Doe or whatever the cliche name is in like lawsuits and stuff, like Jane Doe or like Joe, whatever the fuck, you know what I'm talking about, Fulanita all or whatever, if you want to be bilingual about it. But discipline, dude, is like the only thing that I've been surviving on for the past entirety of my 20s, dude. The entirety of my 20s, bro, has been on pure discipline. Straight up. I can't even, the amount of people that have come up to me, people that have met me, they know me, they're like, I don't know how you do it, girl. I don't know how you balance working out and getting your shit in order and working and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, I don't. I straight up just do it because I know I fucking have to. It's not something that is healthy, I would say. discipline can get you very far, yeah, but when you ignore your emotions, like I've been doing for the past, I don't know, entirety of my 20s with discipline on top of it, it does take a toll, and I feel like I am feeling it now at 24. Trust, discipline is fantastic. It's amazing to have. Having no discipline is definitely not something that I'm attracting at all in regards to any person I meet, any relationship that I have with people, friendships, dating, etc. Discipline is really all you need. But to an extent, I feel like I've been only surviving on that. I have not been surviving on the actual joy. Because here's the thing, you guys, like the pandemic really did a good structure for me in the sense of like building the quote discipline, one, and two, maintaining the discipline, because I had no other form of reliability except on myself. You know, when we were all in the pandemic, we were relying on ourselves for survival and like the people that we may live with, or like just proximity really mattered in regards to the pandemic. The pandemic really shaped who we are. The pandemic is by far the prime reason that we are who we are today. However old you were during the pandemic, however old you are now currently, feel like there's been years of exponential growth already fast forwarded in regards to the pandemic. But I feel like my discipline really stems from dance, especially, which I've had for years in my little backpack or whatever, in my what's it called, in like my back burner, like just things that you have in the back, I don't know. But regards to like what I've been having my whole life, discipline has really been taught to me from dance. I have been, for somebody that's on an IUD, bro, trust, I have danced in the worst of conditions regarding like physically speaking, feeling weak, feeling just exhausted to a point where not healthy type of exhausted. And still pushing through. I'm not saying you should be doing that, obviously. That's not for everyone. I think I personally just find ways to just move through that and live with it and work through it. To me, if there's no exercise in my day, I feel like I have failed the day. Look, I know that's a very toxic mentality, but it's true. I feel like even if anything, my body stiffens when I don't move. I feel like if I don't do some form of exercise a day, my body begins to automatically stiffen and tighten up and doesn't know how to react. I have been working out and active for, I want to say, since I was 14. Like I said, I'm 24 now. That's a decade of my life, bro. I have built my stamina and I have built my discipline since I was 14. And the first exercise I was ever introduced was the gym. Then I was also doing dance on top of that. So balance, baby. Balance. And that's where you learn discipline, girl. Discipline was never taught to me in school. Discipline was never taught to me. I feel like the only thing that really kept me going was just because I didn't want to fail a class, obviously. Duh. Who does? Obviously, nobody ever wants to fail something. Even if they don't like what they're doing, they just don't want to fail. As humans, we don't want to fail. And discipline is really the only thing that you need, bro. I'm not saying discipline should be the only form of survival, but when you make it like I have, making discipline the only reason you get up every day, it does have its toll on you, to the point where I fast forward at 24 and I am burnt the fuck out when I don't even feel like I've done enough to burn myself out, if that makes sense. So truthfully speaking, dude, discipline is great. And I admire that about myself. I think that's like one of the greatest things I have, one of the greatest traits I have, that I will continue to build upon. But there is discipline, great. But when there's nothing else to keep you going, when you only make discipline the only form of motivation, because motivation and discipline are very different. You don't think I wake up some days and I really have no fucking, like, what's it called, motivation, yeah, to go to the gym or to go to dance or to do any of these things? Like, a fucking course. Like, there are days where I really just don't want to. There are days, bro, where I really just want to lie there and do absolutely nothing. I don't think I've ever sat and did nothing since I was like, what, 21, 20? since I entered my 20s, really. And I don't feel like I like wasting the day away. Is that to say that that's everyone? Should you be like that? No. But truly, that's the biggest lesson I've learned and the biggest power tool I've had in my little toolbox, if you will. If you want to be successful in whatever it is, doesn't have to even be necessarily working out. The discipline it takes is a lot, and you do have to build from somewhere. I don't care if you're 50, I don't care if you're 25, bro. Discipline comes in so many different ways. When you discipline yourself in one thing, it becomes easier to discipline yourself in everything else. Like me, dance was something I was basically thrown into by accident. And from this day forward, I took it seriously in something that I really love. Career-wise, not seriously, but like practicing and practicing to however much technique there is was a discipline. Yeah, I have cried. I have hurt myself. I have not like, you know, deeply hurt myself, like hurt myself physically, like pulled something or anything like that. And on top of that, doing gym or like being in Pilates, whatever the other exercises are, hybrid training or whatever the fuck they call it these days. It starts somewhere. The discipline starts from somewhere. And then once you build the discipline in one aspect of your life, then the rest of it gets easier because you already have discipline. You've been there before. So yeah, I think that's where I would like to end in regards to the discipline aspect, number two on my list. But number three, being in self-isolation is very bad for you. I think that people that isolate themselves are a lot weaker than they say they are. They think they're so strong and stuff like that, which I will get into. But people that like to isolate themselves because no one is worth their time. No one is worth my time. My time is expensive, blah, blah, blah. To me, it's not really valid. And you guys will never know what's out there and who is out there if you never, or if you keep like trying to hide yourself and hide yourself and try to just isolate yourself. I'm currently living this now. I feel like I'm currently dealing with this. I like to go out. I just don't have a lot of people to go out with. All of my friends, you know, have different lives and different schedules. And also, so do I, you know, I have other obligations. So obviously schedules never align most of the time. So I feel like I'm pretty much on my own for a lot of things. And it's easy to slip into the slump of just not really wanting to go out because you don't really have anyone to go out with. Me, honestly, all this year and all of last year, bro, or I think last year too. These last 2 years, I have been at every concert I could possibly go to. Did I go with anyone most of the time? No, actually. I think I went to two out of those concerts in between the 2022 and 2023 with actual, like with one person, one other person. The rest of the other shows, I went by myself because I don't got time to be waiting around for people to be available. I don't got time to be waiting for other people to be, ready to do something. I don't have time for that. If I see the tickets going live on Ticketmaster tomorrow, I'm not going to hit up my girls and be like, yeah, I think that we should go, and then not hear from them for another 3 days. Like, no, 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 girl. I'm getting those damn tickets, and I'm going to be getting one out of two instead because I don't like to rely on other people's schedules. And look, I'm not saying that's a healthy lifestyle, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but there is a limit. Like, I feel like the pandemic really did a really, really good yet really sad job of really isolating us from like society, that when we finally were able to rejoin society completely normal again, we really don't know how to do that anymore. I feel like I've completely lost my social butterfly-ness. I feel like pre-pandemic, bro, I would have gone up to a stranger, okay? Now? Oh my God, I can't even do that anymore. I feel like my little bubbly self is only reserved for people I already get to know. Whereas like pre-pandemic, I was already like that in general. So yeah, dude, it's not healthy. And I see a lot of it on social media. I know obviously social media is not real. We'll get into that in a little bit. That's a little further down the list. But we all know that social media is not real. And we oftentimes forget that. I feel like sometimes I even forget, you know. I try not to live my life through social media for real. I try not to. Some days it's harder. Obviously, it's not like completely easy. You don't do it overnight. But being in self-isolation, I see it everywhere. I see like when he fumbled me, but all I did was go to work, go to school, and go to the gym and be in bed by like 9 p.m. or 10 p.m., excuse me. God, I burped you guys. I'm sorry if you heard that. But yeah, that's my point. It's like, dude, that's not a fumble. That just sounds like you're fucking boring. I'm sorry. I said it, okay? The little gym girlies, the gym baddies, they think that they are the top of the tier of the game because they go to bed at like 10 p.m. and they make their own food at home and they have a steady routine and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, bitch, same. Me and you, we're the same. We twinning. Like, girl, we're one and the same. We be vibing. But it's boring to do that. And if you say that it's not, I know you're lying. I know that's not true. I see a lot of the gym people in the world. They love to promote that they're, yeah, I go to the gym, I work, and I work on myself, and I don't party and stuff like that. I'm like, then you're a fucking loser, bro. Sorry. Like, I am so sorry, bitch. You mean to tell me that you're over here trying to promote that you're cooler than everyone because you don't drink or smoke or whatever? You're not that cool, bitch. You're not. I'm not saying I advertise drinking if you're going to be working out. I'm trying actually to cut back on alcohol because I really – we'll get into that. Trust, I almost developed an alcohol addiction this year. And I wish I was joking. Yeah, I wish I was joking. But nonetheless, I'm actually – me personally, I'm trying to cut back on alcohol and just drugs and stuff like that because I've learned the hard way that it actually is doing a lot more harm in my mental than it is good. So that's just me. But – hey, do I love a good little espresso martini? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say no. Like, if somebody offered me an espresso martini right now, you think I'm really going to say no? Nope. I would say yes and bring me two, at least, you know? But, and by the way, this, guys, is my little drink that I mentioned earlier. It's like vibes with a Y. So fucking LA. But regardless, it's passion fruit pineapple. That shit's fire. But my point still stands. Being in self-isolation is really bad for you. I really wholeheartedly believe that. And I'm me personally, I'm trying to work on it. But when I can't always go out or when I can't always make it to events and stuff like that, because LA has so many events every weekend, let alone every day. So it's hard to like always get to them and always go to them, especially since they're in LA. I don't live super close to LA, but I don't live super far. It's just not as accessible as it should be for me, as I wish it was, you know. But the times I do make it out there and I, you know, go out and make the drive and stuff like that, I do have a fun time. I have a great time. I meet people. You get to be social. You get to meet other people that are in your same boat, bro. Like, do you know how many 20-year-olds or people in their 20s that are going through the exact same thing you are going through? Maybe even heightened even more. And they're still out there trying their hardest just like you are. Like, just like-minded people, you know? People that go to the gym or people that like to take workout classes, a Pilates class, or people that, you know, you really like to meet in the jobs that you like, or what's it called? Your favorite hobby. Nonetheless, they're everywhere. So saying that, you know, no one is worth your time and no one is worth getting to know you and stuff like that is truly really toxic for your mental. We are human beings. If you have learned nothing from what is going on in the world, especially in Palestine, if you have not seen the videos and the proof, I have never seen a group of people more united than I have seen with Palestinians in this time. I'm not here to, like, I'm in awe of how honorable they are and how they are in literally the worst of times. Like, when I tell you, whenever you have told yourself in your own life, it could be worse. That is like nowhere near to the level of what they tell themselves it couldn't get worse, and it absolutely does. Like, to me, when I see Palestinians right now, I'm inspired, bro. I have never seen such people to the most unfortunate circumstance they are brought to a community, but they rely on each other because they have no one else, man. Like, it's so sad to realize that. But also, I admire the community they have for each other, the love they have for each other, the sympathy, the patience they have with one another for going through the worst of times more than anything. So to me, I'm going to use that example as a form of admiration because truly, I have never seen people so resilient when honestly, they shouldn't have to be. I feel like this could have all been prevented, me personally thinking. but it is happening, unfortunately. And to me, when I see them, you know, just in community with one another, like cooking for each other and like when they can, or, you know, supporting the kids that I like, have no idea what's going on, even like they can't even fathom what is going on. But yeah, dude, I think it's admirable. I really do. But yeah, and then honestly, we're gonna go to number four. Y'all, the biggest lesson of this year for me, aside from, you know, a lot of things, was a lot of dating realizations. So number four, very targeted, very specific, trust. It's just a lesson I've learned. Trust, I'm not hating. It's just a lesson I've learned. Number four, if that man is 30 and above and emotionally not ready for a relationship, just run. Because men can get their money up and their career up, of course, at whatever age it is. But if they are emotionally immature, you could be dating like the richest man on earth, but have nothing else to offer you. Trust. That speaks for itself. I don't even need to go into detail about that one. It just speaks for itself. If you know, you know. And number five, when there's a high in your life, just prep for the low, vice versa. Don't need to elaborate on that either, really. It's just that simple. Like, if you are an all-time high right now in your life, whether it's career, whether it's dating, whether it's relationships in general of all kinds, and everything else in between, your own personal growth, just be prepared. I'm not saying always is going to be a low, but just be prepared for whatever might happen. Because I've had moments where I'm super happy and life is good, and then I start thinking, and then I'm like, oh, no, I'm not doing well. Yeah, it be like that, y'all. Yeah. I don't really need to elaborate any further, but yeah. Number six, stop believing dating on social media or social media videos, TikToks, whatever. It may be a real life situation for someone else and whoever posted it, but it does not mean that it will happen to you. Or, yeah, basically. I really think that social media has really ruined dating. I think we all can agree. But don't let it influence you, straight up. I don't really know how much else I can elaborate on that. Like, there is really no, like, point as to why you should idolize social media as a form of, like, dating and stuff like that. Or follow those types of stuff, or believe it, let alone, you know. I feel like you as a human being should be coherent enough and make your own decisions in regards to dating. Look at the own bigger picture and look at what's presented in front of you. Look at the facts, if that makes sense, as to what is shown to you in your life. And then you can establish what's the best course of action in regards to dating. But honestly, bro, navigate yourself, man. Just think for yourself. Don't follow these little TikTok accounts and think that, that they know what's best for your dating life, because they don't know you and they never will. Ooh, not the yawning back. Anyways, number seven, stop shaming women for wanting casual sex. And yes, that time. Oh, yes, that does mean not giving shit about the man. And men do it all the time and they're idolized for it. My turn, bitch. Yeah, pretty self-explanatory as well. I will say, I am going to make this short and sweet because I actually just realized I can only record on this program for 30 minutes at a time. So I'm trying to rush through it, but also for the other stuff I mentioned previously, I don't really have a lot to say on the bullet points, if that makes sense. But this one I do. And I'm going to end with this one and I'm going to, you know, transition and we'll go into another 30 minutes. It's a whole thing. May I find a program that actually can withhold my laptop. Anyways, though, to finish off this first 30 second half, stop shaming women for wanting casual sex. And yes, that is not, and that does mean not giving a shit about the man in question. Now, I kind of did this recently, LOL. But anyways, not the point. My lesson out of this is one, get STD tested, bitch. Get your pap smears. I'm so serious. And I'm going to be doing that right after this episode. Yeah. Anyways, though, I just find it so interesting to me when I talk about this, because when I tell y'all, men have been sexualizing women, if anything, hyper-sexualizing women, since the dawn of time, since the awakening of time. And mind you, on top of that, without women's permission to do so, by the way, just want to put that out there and make it quite clear. And men have been hypersexualizing women since the dawn of time without women's permission, right? But the second me, a modern day woman, decides to do the exact same thing, just hypersexualize a man, use him for his goodies, and only see him as worth it to me in regards to his goodies, I'm the bad guy. Fucking shocker to me, dude. Fucking crazy. Mental illness, if you will. You mean to tell me that men can hypersexualize me, reduce me down to like a tits, my ass, my hole, all three of the included? But God forbid I think of that of man. Oh, he only is good because he's good in bed. He has a big dick. Yeah, that's not fair, bitch. And you know what? I'm gonna keep doing it. I'm gonna keep sexualizing men. All right? I'm gonna keep doing it. And I'm gonna like it because some of them eat it up. Some of them really enjoy it. And then sometimes people are like, some guys are like, oh my God, I was just used as a piece of meat. Yeah. Yeah, you were. Get over yourself, babe. You got something else to offer me? No, you don't actually, because you're not a good person. You're not a good guy. You don't even have dating worthy qualities, let alone husband material qualities as a whole. But now you want to get all sad, like, oh no, like I want to be cared for. No, bitch, no. Take that shit out of here. No. If you guys have established that you guys are sex only, move forward with it. And if you can't handle it, leave. It's okay. It's all right. It's not for everyone, and that's okay as well. No one's gonna shame you for that either. I'm not gonna shame you, at least for it. But nonetheless, that's where I rest my case. But yeah, it doesn't make any sense. The very second men want to reduce women down to, like, you know, how much tit fat she got, how fat her ass is, being a whole, and that's it, you know, using women for only sexual pleasure. But the second I, a modern day woman, decide to do that to a man, oh, I'm the bad guy. Woo! I'm a sinner. I'm a slut. But yeah, you know what? Free all my sluts. Shout out to the sluts of the world. I love y'all. But yeah, I'm gonna do another 30 seconds. And realize I can only record on 30 minutes on this program. But yeah. Let's move on to the other 30 second half. Hopefully it's not too long. And if it is, it is what it is, y'all. I'll see you on the other side with the other rest of the list. And welcome back, you guys. So hopefully this is the last section of the podcast. I'm going to try and see if I can figure out to record just one long chunk of it instead of 30-minute intervals. I didn't know I could even do 30 intervals only here on this program. But anyways, to continue, number 8 on my list, because I just did 1 through 7. So now I'm on number 8. This is actually recent advice I got that actually changed my life and a lot of my perspective. And those for all of you guys that are feeling like you're not doing enough in regards to whatever it is, a goal, a career, a dream of yours, etc., or maybe just overall, like, how you approach your life now. To wake up and chase a vision, a dream, a goal of what you desire is better than waking up and chasing after nothing. And I like to use this example of the people that you know in your life that are just existing, that go through the motions of life. Listen, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because some people actually, one, don't have the luxury to maybe even dream bigger. You know, maybe they don't have the luxury to dream bigger, because I feel like that's a lot of also the immigrant mentality. That's a whole other topic that we can get into in another day, another time. But I did see a video of, from one of my favorite podcasts of, like, talking about the Latino trauma, where it's like you can't really afford to dream bigger because you have to focus on paying the bills, paying for yourself, and just overall existing and surviving. This also has to do with tapping into survival versus dreaming. I think so. But also, like, there are just some people, like, by choice choose not to, you know, dream bigger, or they just simply exist in your life. You may know some people, you're probably thinking of some people that you know now that are just simply existing by choice, not by circumstance. I feel like that's also a big important factor to keep in mind. But that's really like the best advice I've gotten recently. For me, it's just chasing after a better life for myself. Like, I'm really at like probably my lowest point in regards to my mental health at this point, at this moment in time. I think it's probably the lowest it's ever been in regards to mental health. I feel like this entire year has been an all-time low for me in regards to where I'm at mentally, where I'm at emotionally. Physically, I'm in tip-top shape. Yo, I got that four-pack, you know? But mentally speaking and mentally and emotionally speaking, I'm not at my best. I feel like I'm never doing enough. I feel like I always need to be doing more. And when I try to reach for more, I keep getting rejected. This entire year has been feeling like a big, giant, fat rejection letter from everything, from dating, from life, from career, from friendships and relationships. I feel like my entire year this year has been a giant rejection letter that never ends. And it's disheartening. Like, all of us go through, I feel like everyone goes through this process of life where you're rejected in everything, in every aspect of your life. But for me, the discipline is the only thing that keeps me going. But also, I wake up and chase a better version of myself. I don't even know what that version is. But I just know that whatever is out there for me is going to find me, one. And two, all the dreams I don't even know that I have are going to come true, because it's better than what I'm living now. It's better than what I'm currently dealing with now. And it's only going to get better. So there's also that. Number 9, people do not care sometimes regardless of what they do to you, what they have done in general. The heartless type of people do not care about their actions and how it affects you. It's time you move on. And this is something we all struggle with. I feel like this is, you know, I feel like that's a big struggle that we all have. I feel like it's really hard some days, other than like more than others, you know, to just move on, you know, like it's really hard. But at some point there does come a discussion where you have to have with yourself, being like, okay, like it really is time for me to push past whatever has happened between me and this person, whatever they did to me. Because honestly, there have been times where people have done me so wrong, this year too, last year, every year, I feel like everyone has done someone wrong. I feel like we all have had that time where, you know, we know someone that did us wrong and you drop them with no question. I mean, me personally, I'm a Gemini. I drop it just with no question. Like, I move through it and I move on. But, you know, some days it hurts more than others. I think recently I saw an old friend of mine I went to high school with. We were super close. I still have love for her. It's just like things don't work out. I'm not going to get into details, obviously. Who fucking cares? I know you don't care. But something happened between us. And I don't really see the point of having her in my life for that reason. I think it was a pretty big, fat, like, you know, not really something I can negotiate. It wasn't like differences aside. It's like, no. Like, it was pretty fucked up. Not saying she did anything. It was just circumstance and just, you know, other people involved. But I saw her at my old job one day. I went to a concert this year. Went to see the 1975. And I saw her there in passing. And I was hurt. I was really, really sad. I wanted to, after years of not really thinking about her, I would think of her and maybe every other few months, you know, I would think of like, I wonder what she's doing these days, you know? But it wasn't something, you know, a common thought that I had of her. And then I saw her at this concert and we just passed each other and it hurt. It really hurts when you used to be so close with someone and you're not anymore. And the thing I can only think of right now is when I was in that moment, how many things I wanted to tell her, you know, because we were close at one point and we did share everything, secrets and problems and boy issues and stuff like that. And I wanted to tell her like my whole year that I just had and I couldn't, you know. It really hurts, dude. It hurts some days more than others like that. But, you know, I haven't thought of it after that fact until right now, me talking about it on the podcast. I didn't really think of it afterwards. It just, it's like a nostalgic feeling. It's reminiscing, and it hurts to some extent. It does. I'm not going to sit here and say that it doesn't, but that's my example of moving on. And being heartless is scary to me, and I've been moving pretty heartless this year. I feel like I've been very heartless for the second half of this year. Pretty ruthless, pretty mean, and pretty cold-hearted, which is not me at all, but I feel like that's the only way to keep my guard up and safe. But yeah, that's number 9 for you. Number 10, the saying of "I don't dream of labor." Okay, let's unpack that. Then what do you want? What is your ideal life? Because "I don't dream of labor," okay, sure. Let's think of that. To me, in the earlier times, I for some reason, I did agree with "I don't dream of labor" for a while. But since I'm at a point in my life where I feel like my career hasn't even started, let alone basically just only scratched the surface of it, or maybe not even the tip of the iceberg, like maybe like a quarter of the iceberg has been touched in regards to my career, I feel like being in regards to labor, like I feel like "I don't dream of labor" doesn't apply to me in this moment of my life, because I haven't even touched full potential, not even anywhere a quarter of my potential in regards to like my success and what I want in this life. But I can understand if like you're like, "I don't dream of labor" after you've been working your whole fucking life. Then yeah, I can understand that you can, you know, use that as a form of like, "Yeah, I don't dream of labor," but you've been working your whole life. I get that. I do. And that's where I understand the topic more. But "I don't dream of labor" and not working, great. That's fine if you've been working your whole life. But to say that with not even trying in this life, ooh girl, you're in for a hard, hard awakening when you find out that to exist on this planet, you do need some form of money and income, which means you have to do something you kind of somewhat relatively like in order to survive and exist on this planet, especially if you live in a big city like LA, New York, even Texas is kind of popping, Miami. Like, you kind of need something to fall back on in regards to like labor, aka working equals money equals survival. Like, the most girl math, truly. Just marinate on that. I love to wonder what people mean when they say that. I feel like I get why it's like, "Oh, I'm being overworked." Yeah, I agree with that. I agree that honestly, corporate America and all forms of overworking people are very much inhumane. Yes. I think that when people say that from that point of view, like, "I don't dream of labor," I'm like, "I know, I get you, girl. I can see why, because your boss, one, sucks. Two, you're not getting paid enough. And three, you are not being admired for your work and your ethic and or your work ethic and being valued in whatever job that you have." So yeah, I can understand the frustration for sure. I do see the point of where it comes from. But hey, that just means you might need a career change. Maybe that means starting over. Maybe that means finally diving into that hobby you've always wanted to try, or that hobby you still always practice, yet you haven't really made income on it. You know, it means a lot of different things for different people. But my next thing, number 11, being heartless is unrealistic as humans as a whole. And if you are, congrats, you have mastered the one human motive that's worth living for: passion and emotion. You will never be happy if you keep being sociopathic. I don't even remember when I wrote this, but I clearly wrote it, ooh, when I was feeling something. But yeah, I said what I said, y'all. I said what I said. Let me take a sip of water because my throat is hurting. But y'all, being heartless, I'm in my heartless era right now. I can wholeheartedly tell you, it is very sad out here. Yeah. I'm not saying a person shouldn't go through this maybe phase in their life where they are heartless and they are moving pretty abruptly and just moving through the motions of life of being completely heartless and not really caring about people or the consequences of things. I think that as humans, we do need to go through that phase in life, however old you are. I feel like maybe at least once. I'm currently living it now. And I don't really like it, but it's the only way I will be able to go through life in this moment. I don't feel like being upfront with who I am. Excuse me. Ooh, excuse me, y'all. But yeah, that's, I think being heartless at one point in your life, having a phase of that is definitely necessary for a person. But then you grow out of it. At least I would hope so. At least I would hope that y'all are growing out of these phases of being heartless, because being heartless only gets you so far, bro, because it only distracts you temporarily from what you're actually feeling. And it's really sad when you have to face that reality after being heartless and your heartless and mean girl era, because I'm currently in that era right now. All right. And I am facing a lot of gruesome shit. All right. A lot of gruesome shit I'm realizing being heartless and moving that way for the first time in my life. I've never, ever been the type to be heartless and mean and cold-hearted and stuff like that. But right now I am in that phase of my life, and it is not a pretty sight, but I am being communicative with the people around me about it. I'm being upfront. I'm not lying. I'm not deceiving people, being like, hey, I'm really in love with you, when really I'm being a heartless bitch and I'm going to be honest about it, you know? Hey, be heartless, but at least be honest about it. Because I'm doing that. But yeah, I think it's definitely a phase that everyone needs to go through at least once. Doesn't matter how old you are, really. I would hope in your early 20s, if not, you know, earlier than that. Then yeah, you eventually grow out of it, because it does get tiring. It does get sad. It does get depressing, for sure. Don't keep living like that. I don't advise it. I think it's only good for a certain amount of time. Then you move on. Then you're like, okay, now it's time to get serious. Now it's time to really, you know, face what I need to deal with. So don't do it for a long time. Trust, not safe. Number 12, stop chasing chemistry if you want a serious relationship. It's really self-explanatory. Yeah. I'm going to talk to my therapist about this one, trust. I've been talking to her about it for quite some time. So, ooh. Already self-explanatory. Just, if you want a serious relationship, you got to find chemistry and love all in one. It's very hard to find, though, I will say. It's quite hard to find. At least for me, it has been. I get bored quite easily when my needs aren't met in general. But yeah. Anyways, number 13. Also kind of piggybacking off of number 12. Boredom in relationships is real. It's hard to keep my attention in general. I don't know if it's just a Gemini thing. Maybe it's just the way I was raised. I don't know. But I've realized that boredom in relationships is very real. So real, dude. And I was talking to my therapist about this. I was just like telling her, I was like, listen, dude, like, to be upfront, like, I'm scared I'm going to get bored of anything. I'm scared I'm going to get bored of a career that I pick. I'm scared I'm going to get bored of the person I end up with. I'm scared I'm going to end up wanting temporary pleasure when I'm with someone. To me, that's a big fear of mine that I actually took me this year to realize, that I do get bored in relationships quite easily. And I tend to chase after the people that are only chemistry, because that's exciting, rather than something that's actually serious, a person that actually is a quality candidate for something serious and loving and stuff like that. It's really hard to find. For me, at least, it has been very hard to find, finding chemistry and also love and passion that keeps me interested. I don't know where it stems from. I don't even know where boredom in relationships stems from. But it happens to a lot of people. I feel like it's a very common thing that no one really wants to talk about. It's like, why people cheat? Why do people do this and stuff like that? It's like the topic of you have to keep choosing your partner forever is really true. Like, if that person makes you happy, great. It does exist. There are good people out there. Contrary to what social media might tell you, there are really good people out there, good men, good women, good partners. They exist out there. They are not a rare find. They exist. They're amongst normal people in normal daily life, okay? they are real. They do exist. And the more you keep telling yourself that that's not real, that's the more you're going to attract and only attract bad people for you. So with that being said, wow, my throat is really dry. It's definitely the wind at this point. Like, the weather is just not it right now in LA. But I've been telling my therapist about this. I'm like, the reason I'm chasing only chemistry with people right now is because I'm scared I'm going to get bored of someone that's actually a good candidate. I'm scared I'm going to get bored of the guy that's super sweet to me and only loves me and only has eyes for me. I feel like I'm going to get bored with that. And it's scary. I really find that to be the biggest realization of this year. Like, I'm scared. And then when I apply the boredomness to any other aspect of my life, I'm scared I'm going to get bored of a career. I'm scared I'm going to get bored of the friends that I have. I'm scared I'm going to get bored of being in the same location for my whole life, like LA. And trust, I'm already there. Trust. I love you, LA, but there, a part of me always wishes I could be somewhere else and, like, city-wise. But yeah, I'll save the rest for my therapist. But yeah, that's basically the topic of today. All right. Number 14, the whole, quote, delusional trend was cute until you guys normalized shitty treatment from people and reverse it and just brainwash yourselves. That's pretty self-explanatory to me. I don't want to go into that. I just think that being delulu is not always a salulu. I feel like taking action is the salulu for in this situation. Let's not be delusional always. Let's have certain delusional stuff, all right? Certain delusions is fine, but being delusional where it's like you're dating someone, like, oh my God, he hasn't texted me all day. He definitely is, like, super busy. He loves me. Like, don't worry, guys. Like, that's delulu-ship that I do not support. Like, that I do not support. But anyways, number 15. Stop chasing that man unless he is chasing first. Yep. It's really that easy, you guys. Because trust. A man that wants you, bro, oh, he's going to make it so obvious that he does. There's going to be no mixed signals. There's going to be no second guessing yourself. There's going to be, or in general, this doesn't have to be men. It can be, like, just in general. Like, if someone likes you, they are going to make it so obvious to you. It's, like, so in your face that you can't even miss it. And stop chasing that man unless he's chasing first. And when I say that, I mean, like, you can shoot your shot and whatnot, right? Of course, we're women. It's 2023. You can shoot your shot. I do it all the time. But at the same time, he's got to keep following up. He's got to keep trying to get you. He's got to keep trying his best. And however many times you deny this one guy, because I have denied so many men in my DMs. So many times. And then one day I decide to give them a chance. And trust me, I learned the hard way. Do not give that man that's been in your DMs for a long time a chance, because trust, I learned the hard way this year. They want you at first, and they get to know you, and then you feel like you can be comfortable with them, and then they don't want you anymore. So, yeah. Yeah, it's ugly, it's sad, and it's also one reason I've been really sad this whole year. But anyways, that's pretty self-explanatory. Number 16. It's okay to chase what you feel is forever now and the temporary people now. The amount of times I have heard people say that they are dating to marry. Yes, that is the goal. That is that is the goal of life. You date to marry. But I'm not dating to marry right now. Bitch, I am 24. I haven't even lived on my own yet, okay? You think I really, and I mean truly, I'm going to be chasing a forever person right now? Hell fucking no, dude. No. No, ma'am. Whew. No. It's okay to, like, think that right now, what you want right now in regards to dating, in regards to goals, in regards to dreams, in regards to career even, in regards to whatever it is, personal aspirations, personal growth. It is okay to feel as if that is what you want now, to chase after that now. As long as it's good for you long term, like, let's say you want to chase, you know, that hobby you've always wanted to try. You will never, ever regret it. You will still, even if you don't like it at the end of the day, you can be like, oh, I tried it and I hated it. That's the finish goal. That's the finite end of it. Move on to something else, you know? I don't say chase temporary people, though. Don't do that. I say chase to a certain limit, and when you get tired of them, just mutually agree to be like, yeah, no. That's what dating is. You may like someone, then you get to know them, and you're like, oh, never mind. And then you cut things off. You know, that's really how it is. So yeah, I really think that's a good thing to have. Am I going to agree with that next year? Probably not. But hey, that's what we learn for. All right, number 17. Stop trying to have it all with someone if you are simply not ready to date. Own up to your current status and move the fuck on. If they hit you up at the wee hours of the night for obvs, you know what? And it feels very depressing and only wanted that way. Ooh, girl, let me tell you. Ooh, girl. And just in general, when you look at the status of your life in regards to dating right now for my single people, when you look at the bigger picture, yo, it's really daunting, yes, when you realize where you're at, because you want the world, you want everything else in between, right? But it also gets very sad when you do meet someone that does have the qualities that you're looking for, blah, 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 and you are the one that's not ready to date. You know, I feel like it's really disheartening, and you just have to be honest with yourself, man. It's really hard to be upfront with yourself being like, yeah, I'm just not ready. But recognizing is the first step, because right now I'm recognizing it now. That's why, like, as much as I would love to date, as much as I would love to go out and actually meet someone that's worthy of something, like worthy of a future with me and stuff like that, I just am not ready to, which really sucks, man. It's really hard when you realize that and you look at the bigger picture, but it's the truth. And number 18, you can do stupid shit as long as you do not lose yourself in the process. It exists. That balance, very hard to find, but it exists. It exists. We're moving on to number 19. Being in a relationship does indeed mean a lack of freedom. And I was also telling my therapist this a while ago. Not only will I get bored in certain relationships with people, that's like my biggest fear, but also it's sacrificing my freedom. It really is. Being in a relationship does mean not... Oh, excuse me. Wow. Let me rephrase that before I yawn again. Being in a relationship does take away certain parts of your freedom. And by that, I mean you can't date anymore. You can't, obviously. I mean, obviously, if you're with somebody that's like, you know, worth it to you, of course, like that there's no eyes for no one else. But, you know, if you're unsure of the person still, it's time to end things, of course. But I'm just saying. You can't be out late anymore. I mean, honestly, it just depends on who you date. Because if you date someone that doesn't really care what you do, as long as, you know, you obviously stay loyal and they love you and you love them, you just like find a mutual ground, because obviously every relationship is different. But hey, it could exist out there. I don't know. But to my knowledge, being in a relationship does equal a lack of freedom in some aspect. And number 20, which I learned on a recent podcast episode, Unhinged with Chris Clemens. I love you, Chris Clemens. I literally know that you will never listen to this. But anyways, number 20 that he actually talked about, the inspo that I got was when he did a 30 things I learned at 30 episode on his podcast. And I'm doing one that's 24 that I learned in, or things I learned, 24 things I learned when I was 24. And he mentioned this on his podcast for his, like, you know, lessons of being him being 30. He stated, in conflicts and or in arguments, speak in facts, not opinions or emotions. Do not speak hyperbole, that thing. So word to Chris Clemens, because when I heard that shit, I had to immediately write that down in my list, because that has never been truer. And I think I'm going to start applying that to more things in my life. I never really thought of it that way, like when it comes to like arguments or disagreements with people, conflict in general. And just in general, dealing with people as a society, you know, you deal with somebody, they deal with you, relationships and stuff like that regarding dating or not. So I think I'm going to start using that from now on. I really find that to be super important to keep in my mind. Like, hey, speaking facts, be like, hey, look at the facts here. These are the facts listed here. You know, it's like, it saves you a lot of time, saves you a lot of energy. And I'm going to be using that from now on, because I never really thought of it that way when I should have. I feel like I'm not really good at expressing my words as much as I should be. But it was super important when I heard that. I was like, oh, I got to write that down. And number 21, creatively speaking, have absolutely no expectations. Find a passion that you can live without, but expect nothing out of it. So I'm going to take my example of this with dance. I applied to this company I'm with now. I didn't think twice about it. I literally just did it because one, the application was easy, and two, I didn't really think I was going to get it. And also, I was just not really thinking about it. I just applied, let it be in the universe, and let the universe take care of it. Trust. And then I got in. I didn't really think twice about it. And to me, I was applying as a joke, dude. I wasn't applying for anything serious. I expected nothing out of it. I honestly was applying to a lot of stuff I saw on social media, like posts and stuff, like ads or job listings, like modeling and dance stuff. And I saw that my dance company, I saw like an ad for it, and I followed them, and I just applied just to apply, just to get myself out there. And like I said, I didn't have any expectation of it. I literally just did it, you know, like I didn't really think twice about it. And here we are. I'm in the company now, and I'm learning a lot, and I'm very thankful for that. So if you're in the creative field, have no expectation when it comes to it. It's going to hurt. It's going to be really hard. And I'm still learning that too, but it will be worth it. When you have no expectations on anything that you do, and you just go through it and you do what you need to do, and you do it proudly as best as you can, you will see, you will be led in the right direction. So there's that. 22, be the first thought when somebody hears your name and they think, oh yeah, they're fucking cool. And that can mean whatever. You can literally have your own definition of what being cool is, but that's my version. I won't want somebody to think of me like, yeah, she's fucking cool. She's funny. I want people to think of me as funny and cool. Who wouldn't, you know? And number 23, guys, we're almost there. And I'm also running out of time. Working for free is the reason you'll be tested if you want anything. Yep, it sucks. Working for free is fucking awful, and I would like that to change for the better. Do I see it changing anytime soon? No, because these companies do not give a shit about you and me and no one else, just themselves. But if you want experience, unfortunately, that is the way to go. And it sucks, and we hate it, but it's the truth. And number 24. My final lesson, and actually it's just like life lesson, not even dating, not even friendships, relationships, straight up, insurance is a scam. Thank you all so much for coming to my podcast. I will not be elaborating on number 24. It just is what it is. But nonetheless, that is the end of the episode. Wow, can't believe I did all of that. And I'm out of breath, and my throat is starting to hurt, and not hurt, like just tickle. But nonetheless, thank you guys for listening. I am glad that we've had this talk. I hope that you continue to support me and the podcast or whatever, but I am back. I'm here to stay. I have a lot of other podcast topics I have recorded yet just didn't go through because my laptop wasn't working at the time, but I will be recording. And unfortunately, until I can figure out the time interval stuff, like a program that I can rely on that my computer can handle, it will be recording in 30-minute intervals, so please keep that in mind. But I love you all. Please take care of yourselves, stay warm, stay healthy, and I will see y'all in the next episode on Sunday. Bye.